This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
World.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. We've got two guests for you today. We've got Diamond Leung, and then we'll have Mike O'Hara to talk Detroit Lions football. But Diamond Leung will be on to talk MSU basketball. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Got a question right off the bat, and I think he probably should know the answer to this question. What are the chances for redshirt freshman Mac Masoud in the spring? Well, like you said, he's a redshirt freshman, and he'll probably still be a redshirt freshman. So I can't see him, making a lot of progress. He may make some progress, but they've got a lot of receivers there. So that's the area where they've got a lot of receivers, so we'll have to see. Right now, let's go to the phones. We've got Diamond Leung on the line. Diamond, how you doing?
Hey, great, Earl. Thanks for having me.
Okay, hey, good to have you. Did I say your name right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. Now, you heard me say, what are the chances for redshirt freshman Mac Masoud in the spring? Does he have much of a chance?
Well, yeah, as you know, it's never going to be easy, for a walk-on receiver. Then again, hey, I mean, last spring, I believe, they had a walk-on kind of lead the team in receiving during the scrimmage part. So I think Matt will get his chance. I mean, certainly when you have a receiving core that's still – developing, but yeah, again, it's going to be hard to crack that rotation when you have a number of scholarship guys ahead of you.
Yes, we got a lot of new guys that are going to be trying to break in the lineup this year, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think they also have a lot of returners that got a lot of experience, kind of as part of that wide receiving core, and maybe a new quarterback. Who knows? A lot of questions going into the season.
Yeah, now let's talk a little bit about basketball that's going on right now. How do you see the Spartans? It seems like they're okay, but, boy, that Big Ten is so tough this year.
Right. It's definitely going to be a grind. And, as Tom Izzo has called the team, it's going to be a grinded-out team. You probably won't see them blow out too many opponents. You probably won't see them lose to teams that they shouldn't lose to either. So I think it's going to be kind of a middle-of-the-road thing and, maybe occasionally, pull off one of those wins, against one of those upper tier teams. Not that Michigan State isn't one, but it's going to be interesting as they kind of, battle the Indiana, the Michigans. They get another shot against Minnesota, the Ohio State.
And I've gotten some calls already from people who think Michigan State should beat a lot of these teams, and I keep telling them that, hey, the Big Ten is good. I mean, you can't assume that they're going to beat a lower-level team like, for example, a Nebraska or a Penn State, because those teams play very good and they play very hard.
Exactly. Yeah, we've already seen them have, some trouble against Nebraska and Purdue, in the first half they didn't look that great either, and the same against Iowa. Iowa is kind of one of those mid-level teams, but really I think you're going to see it throughout the season where it's going to be a struggle night in, night out.
Yeah, and that's going to be tough, but that's what people want. I mean, it's funny how people want Michigan State to play the tough teams, but also they want them to beat the tough teams. And I don't know if that's always, they can do that, but everybody wants them to play the tough teams and beat the tough teams.
Right, right. Well, they're going to have to get some in order to improve their resume. Obviously, that was a big win when they took down, a top 10 Kansas team earlier in November. At the same time, the Big Ten really offers you a lot of opportunities to pick up some of those season-defining wins. You know, can they go into an Indiana and then steal one? You know, can they win at Wisconsin? There's going to be opportunities, to play Illinois and Ohio State and, just kind of rack up a bunch of wins. On the other hand, you can rack up a bunch of losses as well. So I think as long as you win the games you should win, hold court at home, and maybe steal an occasional a win that maybe wasn't expected, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Now, what do you expect from the football team in the spring? What do you expect from them in the spring ball?
Well, it's going to be interesting because I think a lot of the focus will be on the quarterback position after kind of what happened at the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. You'll see a Connor Cook get his chance. You'll see Tyler O'Connor, get his chance as well. Going after the job that Andrew Maxwell held for really up until that final half against TCU. So I think that's the biggest intrigue, and also obviously the running back position as well. You lose a Le'Veon Bell, and that just really hurts, the team. You're going to see, is Nick Tompkins ready for that role? Can a Jeremy Langford step up? Those sort of storylines will be going into the spring.
So it'll be some definitely interesting storylines for Michigan State fans to follow. I mean, it looks like they're going to have a lot of open competition, and the competition is going to be light. It isn't going to be heavy, but it's going to be rather light. And I don't know if that makes fans good or easy. I mean, they want to see tough teams, tough competition in there, but also they also want them to have easy wins, basically.
Right. It's never easy to satisfy anyone, as you know. But yeah. I think especially when it comes to football, you're going to see Mark D'Antonio really kind of go through his roster, once again, reevaluate, reassess, and give a lot of guys chances to shine in the spring. That doesn't necessarily mean that it shows up in the fall. We saw a lot of guys have good springs, that didn't necessarily get that much playing time in the fall, and I think. It's a time where you can experiment, where you can kind of move some people around and see what happens. And once the fall, starts, it's a whole different competition. You bring in some of those true freshmen, and maybe they have a chance for a starting job. And we'll see how it goes.
Now, when you look at the spring ball, what do you expect? What players do you think are going to be having just some legitimate competition for jobs in the spring?
Well, I think... like I said earlier, Connor Cook will definitely get a long look, and I think you'll see Tyler O'Connor, get a lot more reps in terms of seeing where he's at. And, the running back position, obviously there's going to be chances to, replace, Johnny Adams at cornerback, William Golston at defensive end. The defense looks, fairly in good shape, given that, they have seemingly a lot of depth, at some of those positions. But I think, especially for some of the redshirt freshmen, too, the freshmen that have already redshirted this past season, you've heard Coach D'Antonio talk a lot about Riley Bullough, Max's brother, really shining kind of on that scout team, and guys like Demetrius Cox, Ezra Robinson, and names that maybe you haven't heard a whole lot about because they've been hidden. But now, during the spring, that'll be their chance to shine.
Well, that's going to give them a good chance, and we'll just have to wait and see. What about, are there any guys, it looks like Alex Garner's going to come around in basketball, but are there any other players that might stick up or might start to blossom?
Well, I think everybody's always been waiting for Russell Bird to really start hitting some shots, and Tom Izzo really likes what he's done in practice. We'll see if it plays out in the court. We're seeing him get the number of first half minutes and play in some crucial situations. So we'll see if Bird improves. And also I think a lot of there's been some fans clamoring for Matt Costello as well. Right now, Ghana I guess has kind of the leg up without playing him in practice. But I don't think you're going to see Costello back down as well from competition. And those two, Costello and Ghana, could really become key members of the team as you see the Big Ten season goes along, and Tom Izzo try to match up his team with different opposing lineups.
How do you see the guards playing out, and do you see the guards basically getting along pretty well?
Yeah, I think you see Denzel Valentine and Gary Harris develop a pretty good chemistry, being that they're roommates, off the court, and right now, Keith Appling, the offense is running through him, and you're seeing him defer a lot on his shot and really get the rest of the team involved. So I think, as you kind of raise up this this fairly young lineup, you're going to see them do a lot better.
Okay. Hey, I want to thank you for being with me, and we'll have you back on again sometime soon and talk more Michigan State basketball and football with you.
Great. Thanks for having me, Earl.
Okay, thank you. And that's Diamond Leung from MLive.com, and we'll be back and talk with him later. But right now, let's bring in our guest, our good friend, Aaron, is with us. And Aaron, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, Earl, today you've got Alex, but
I'm Alex,
doing
yes.
Very well, Earl. Come on, hey, we all make mistakes once in a while. Not a big deal, but doing pretty well. Saw some pretty good games last night. Man, that Kansas team, Earl, against Baylor, they looked really good against Baylor, Earl. I watched that game pretty late, and they're going to be a scary team in the tournament this year.
Yeah. Now, did I talk to you about that MSU game, the football game against TCU? Did we didn't get a chance to talk about that, did we?
Not much, actually, no.
So what did you think about that one?
That's a game that, it doesn't really define the season because, with all the troubles they had against dual-threat quarterbacks during the year, against Ohio State, against Michigan, against those spread offenses, this is the first game that they actually tackled the spread offense and won. And that came from, when everyone was clutching their fingers, hoping that Dan Conroy would make the one field goal that mattered throughout the whole year. I just don't think it accurately defines the season. I think it's a good ending point, but I still think there's a lot of disappointment running around the program right now.
Well, that's good. And hopefully we'll see them get better. They're going to have to get better, that's for sure.
Yeah, and we didn't even talk about the departures, Earl.
Yeah.
What there's talk about Antonio Riles getting recruited, swing him from Florida down south. Who's going to step in that defensive end spot? I mean, you've got the size when you have guys like Joel Heath, 6'6", 260, but you're not going to get that Will Golson kind of abilities.
Yeah, because Will Golson is one that would definitely need. And, of course, Le'Veon Bell, they're going to need someone to replace him at running back. And that's going to be another one that they're going to have to get hold. And, of course, Deion Sims. I mean, I don't know if they'll have anyone that can replace Deion Sims. He has such a unique skill set. He's got fast. He's got good hands. He can run. So he's going to be very difficult to replace. That's for sure. So we'll have to see. Just look at those guys. Those three right there, they need to replace those three and need to replace some others. So it'll be probably a pretty tough year going for Michigan State. They'll probably be good, but how good will they be? That's the magic question. And we'll see. The time now is over 19 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
In Mali, the French military fights Islamist militants with airstrikes and awaits the arrival of an African force to help battle Al-Qaeda-linked rebels. And in Aleppo, Syrian government fighters and rebels trade fire, but neither side makes much progress. I'm Celeste Headlee. What's at stake in hotspots around the world? Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon, I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Partly sunny and a high of 27 today. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 17. We'll get to 31 for a high tomorrow. It'll become partly sunny and breezy with a good chance of some snow. Thursday, mostly cloudy, the high in the upper 20s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now we're going to be talking a little bit about the MSU football, and also we've got some information on Penn State football. So let's see what it says about Penn State. Correct quotes in the last paragraph, standing in society, not standing in respectable community, will be updated and by Mark Scopolo. Penn State lawyer are asking a judge for a defamation lawsuit filed by a former assistant football coach who testified he saw Jerry Sandusky attack a boy in a shower more than a decade ago. The university has met a court filing Tuesday that says Mike McQuarrie doesn't meet legal standards to support claims of defamation and misrepresented. And McQuarrie is suing the university for millions of dollars. And that's his stand, and he's saying the president made him a scapegoat after Sandusky, a retired assistant football coach, was arraigned. A school lawyer says it's not enough for McQuarrie to have. And let me see here. You've got suffered on the other line. That's grievously to the community of respectable society. Well, the time now is 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Let's talk about those Detroit Lions with Mike O'Hara. And, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Use the word respectable in my name in the same ten sentences, okay? Makes me wonder what I've done right accidentally.
Okay, well, we've you know, it's been another one of those years, Mike. We've been through a lot of years, ups and downs,
right.
Some good wins, some bad wins, and now we had another bad season with Mayhew as the GM. How do you think he's doing? Do you think he's going to be able to hold on to his job for at least a couple of more years?
Well, I think so. Excuse me, I think so. I mean, I don't necessarily think that Martin Mayhew is the weak link in this franchise. I think I don't think there's any one thing that's gotten them to where they were in 2011. And on that logic, I don't think there's any one thing that got them to where they ended up in 2012. If I had to pick which of the two seasons was more surprising, the 10-6 finish and playoff berth in 11, and then slumping to 4-12 last year, I'd say that was more surprising. You might have seen a dip coming from 10-6 just because it's automatic. You know, you always wonder if the team's going to kind of sink back a little bit, but certainly not an 8-game skid at the end of the season.
Yeah, and as we know, the Lions, they were so good last year, but this year it's like everybody was prepared for them. I mean, everybody came in looking to play the Lions and play them hard. I mean, a lot of the Lions teams, they just showed up and probably just played a half and won the game. But not this year. They had to come in and play hard against everyone last year because of the way they finished last year. And there weren't any gimmies this year, was there?
No, but I don't buy the first part of what you said about the show up playing hard in 2011 versus 2012. All the years I've covered pro football, I haven't seen many games where teams didn't show up to play. It's not like the second half of the 2011 season, it was a big surprise to anybody that the Lions were winning games and their quarterback was, lighting the place up and they had an outstanding, wide receiver and an offense. I don't buy that at all. I don't buy that not only for the Lions. I don't buy that for any team that all of a sudden that's a big shock that the Indianapolis Colts are winning in 2012. I mean, teams can read the paper. They see tapes and films and all that. So no, I don't. You get what you have coming to you game by game and year by year.
How good do you think Matthew Stafford is? What's his potential? I mean, he's been in the league 3 years, so what do you see for Matthew Stafford?
Well, I think he's got let's put Brady and Manning and Aaron Rodgers in one category. That's the third, look, we talk about elite. Those are the elite guys. Those are the three. There are three heads to Mount Rushmore in pro football in terms of quarterbacking right now. And I'm not saying there aren't other people with talent and all that. But though, and Drew Brees, I put just one tick below those three. But then after that, it's on a given year and a given game and a given stretch of time of who's good. I make this analogy. It's like Usain Bolt winning the Olympic 100 meters in 9.59 seconds. That's great. He also could have won it at 9.69 and 9.79. So there's a certain threshold where it's good enough to win. You don't have to be John Unitas and Joe Montana and Tom Brady to win a Super Bowl. But you have to be good enough. You have to be good enough at a certain level to win it. And Matthew Stafford and a few other quarterbacks in the league right now are good enough to win championships. They're at the threshold to be good enough to win a championship.
Well, for the Lions to be at least mentioned in that championship mold, what do they have to do? How do they need to get better?
Let me just back up on one more thing too, and talk about Manning and Brees and Aaron Rodgers. They're not even in the hunt. They're not even in the Final Four. So the idea that you've got to beat them to win a Super Bowl is ridiculous because they're not even in the Final Four.
Yeah.
So, but there is a threshold of how good you have to be. And back to what I said about Matthew Stafford, he's at that threshold. What do they have to do? Well, first of all, I think that their problems are way more on defense than offense. And I'll go back to the three straight games they lost. They lost to Green Bay, where they get up an 82-yard drive to the go-ahead and winning touchdown with less than 2 minutes to go. The next week against the Houston Texans, they gave up a 97-yard drive to the tying touchdown late in the game. And then the week after that, they gave up touchdown drives of 85 and 75 yards to the Indianapolis Colts to lose the game by a point on the last play of the game. To me, that's defense. You got to be able to make a stop, and they couldn't do it. Now, they have issues on offense, and predominantly, to me, they're the lack of a consistent running game, and a lot of that starts up front on the offensive line. The one phrase that keeps going over in my mind, and I've heard other people repeat it, when Martin Mayhew had his season-ending session with the media, when he referred to interior pressure on the offensive line affected the passing game and Stafford's throwing motion. And to me, interior pressure means three places, left guard, right guard, and center. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the retooling, or whatever you want to call it, of the offensive line, if those aren't the positions that the Lions look at.
Yes, because those are positions we've talked about over the years again and again and again. Hopefully, hopefully they'll be retooled and they'll be ready to go this year. But that's been a challenge for a long time, hasn't it, Mike?
Well, that's been an area that I can't say they haven't addressed it because they have. I mean, look at their own offensive line. They've got two first-round draft picks at tackle and a second-round pick at center, Dominic Raiola. And on the bench, they've got a first-round pick in Riley Reiff, who's going to get some playing time in 2013, and then Jason Fox, who they drafted on the fourth round. So, yeah, they've used draft picks and free agency on their other positions. It's not like they showed up on opening day with only three offensive linemen and said, hey, what do we do now? I mean, they've drafted and signed and tried to develop players, but I think they've got to do a better job in that regard. And some of our guys are just getting old. The way it is. I mean, guys, they would love to play forever. The odds are against it.
Yeah. Now, how did you think they drafted a lot at the wide receiver area? How do you think that the wide receivers did, or is that an area that they still need to get better at?
Well, I think some things happened to two of their draft picks last year that weren't foreseen. One of them might have been Titus Young, who just imploded in terms of behavior and became a liability. Ryan Broyles nearly hurt his knee. He is a very fine, skillful player, a rookie last year, second-round draft pick from Oklahoma, who I think if he stays healthy, can be a really good player in the National Football League. Not a star. It's, look, who are the stars playing wide receiver in the Final Four right now? Aren't many of them, are there?
No, they're not.
But name a star receiver on the New England Patriots. Okay? Yeah. Do that for me. There isn't.
Unless you want to call Wes Welker.
right. Yeah, Wes Welker, right. The mighty Wes Welker. They need somebody to go with Calvin Johnson, and what they really need is the development of the tight end, Brandon Pettigrew. He has talent.
Yes.
I think he's a plus player the way he is, but he's not as good as he could be. He's willing. He's a really good blocker, hard worker, but he has not developed his skill level as a tight end, and to me that goes to coaching, because it's not like he's not a worker. It's not like he doesn't have talent. He's got the raw skills. I mean, look, he caught 87 passes a year ago. How bad could he be? But he needs development, and you get that from coaching.
Yeah. Hey, do you think Jason Hapson is going to stay around for another year or two, or is he about ready to hang him up?
Oh, he's about ready because he's played 21 years. But no, I don't think he's going to hang him up. I heard something on the radio the other day. Somebody suggested that they used the word announced. He hasn't announced anything. There was an interview he did the week of the last regular season game. Just, one of those all-comers interviews. I was in on it. People ask him about what he's going to do. And he says he thinks he can still play. It's just one of those things. If he's going to play, it's going to be in Detroit, and he's got to talk to the Lions management to see what their plans are for him. But not one iota did he indicate that he wasn't going to play.
That's good, because he has been a strong,
it's going to happen. One of these years, you're going to go out there, and there's going to be no number four. It's going to happen, but I don't see that happening in 2013.
Yeah, he's been such a strong kicker for so many years, and that's all you expect from him because he's been so consistent year after year after year.
Right. He missed four field goals last year. Three of them hit the right upright, and one was short from 51 yards into the wind at Green Bay.
So hopefully we'll see him for a few more years. That's another. What do you think they're going to do with that running back position? It's been talked about a lot, but it doesn't seem like they've done a lot of action on the running back position.
Well, they've drafted for him. They drafted a first round pick in 2010 and a second round pick in 2011, and Javid Best and Mikel Ashour, respectively. Best, had one good year and five games or six games of a good second year, but the concussion issue. I don't know if he's ever going to play again. I know he wants to, but I don't know if he'll ever be able to pass the protocol of the NFL. And I thought Mikel Ashour was less than bad, but less than good. I just thought he was just okay. He's what I call a mush runner. He just runs and sticks. He doesn't bounce off anything. He doesn't accelerate away from anything. Pretty good, tough inside runner close to the goal line, but it takes a lot of work to get to the goal line. I didn't see any plays from him at all.
Yeah, what happened though with special teams? I mean, that's always talked about, but we never really zoom in on special teams.
Well, let's zoom in. Danny Crossman has departed. He's gone to Buffalo. He's got a 3-year contract there to join Doug Marrone, a good friend of his, and from their playing days and all that. Lions are still looking for a replacement. At least that's the last I've heard in the last 20 minutes. They haven't filled the job. So, we'll see what they do. It's certainly an important position, and, it's one they've got to fill.
Yeah, so the Lions still have a lot of holes to fill if they can. They've got the positions open, but hopefully they can fill those holes and come back, because boy, if they can ever fill at least half those holes, they'll be a pretty good team.
Well, they've got a chance to, because they've got the quarterback and they've got a game breaker on offense, and they've got a kicker and a couple of other things and some guys up front on defense. So, but they've got, there aren't many perfect teams, but
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see how they spread out their draft picks on April 23rd, 26th, and 27th. because I firmly believe, and I think I don't know what they're going to do, but what I think they'll do and what they should do is get, you know, a monster up there on the front four, just a packed Russian defensive end who can you know, change the game. Because I agree with what Mayhew said at the end of the season. He didn't have people who made game-making plays. And then that's what they had before in 2011. You know, they were able to take the ball away and get return touchdowns. You know, the Lions gave up 10 touchdowns on returns last year.
Wow, that's a lot.
And got none, zero. Yeah. The average was 3.8 touchdowns per team on returns, which is 28 points approximately. The Lions got zero, not a single point on returns.
Wow, that is something. Now, what do you think, what's the what do you see as the prognosis for Roger Goodell and his plans for the NFL?
Oh, you know, I think that the 18-game schedule is on the back burner. I really believe that. I think they'll continue to crack down on concussions. Looks like he's going to go forward with trying to put it, you know, one or two teams in Europe. That's not going to happen, you know, tomorrow or the next day. But you know, they'll continue to try and market the team, market the game. I think you'll see, you know, improvements on the in-game, in-stadium, I should say, not in-game, but in-stadium experience for fans. You know, a lot of stuff that, you know, upgrading scoreboards and stuff like that. That you know, they want people in the stadium to have every convenience you have at home.
Right.
Plus the drama of being in the stadium. You know, it's one thing to sit at home and watch a game and have the doorbell ring, all right? It's quite another to be sitting in that stadium and watching everything that you're seeing at home and have 65,000 people rocking. You don't get that at home. I don't care how high you turn the volume on your television set. There's nothing in there. There's nothing that matches, you know, the drama of being in the stadium. There just isn't.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, Mike, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And
okay.
We'll talk again.
Let's do this again closer to the draft. Okay?
Yes, we will. We'll have to.
How's that for inviting myself back?
Yes, we'll have to do that during the draft because that's always something worth talking about.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, Earl, thanks for having me.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, buddy. Okay, bye-bye. And that's Mike O'Hare from Fox Sports Detroit talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And you can give us a call right here on AM 870 WKAR. And let's see, what do you think, Alex? What do you think the Pistons, I mean the Red Wings or the Detroit Lions need to do?
You know, we'll start off with the Red Wings, Earl. Let's just start it off with replacing Lidstrom. I think that's obviously the biggest concern.
Yep.
I think another big concern is their division. I mean, look at who they're facing off with this year. I mean, this is a division where most teams have made moves in the offseason. The Red Wings, they have made some moves. They've acquired a little bit of offensive power. They did require one defenseman. But in the end of things, they didn't really get the main task done. They didn't get Bomeister. They didn't get who they wanted, and he went to Minnesota too. So it's not like they got their Lidstrom replacement. The defense obviously is not going to be the same in any means in terms of getting guys who have an obscene plus-minus ratio. But what they did do is they did address themselves, and I think they will be a playoff competitor. Do you think so, Earl?
Well, I'm not sure this is going to be such a shortened season. It's really hard to say. I know they've got a shot to make the playoffs, but I'm just not sure how good they can be this year. I mean, they're going to be a playoff contender, and they might make the playoffs. But again, we know they might not make it, but they could make the playoffs. And of course, that would make a lot of people happy if they do make the playoffs.
No, absolutely. And if they do make the playoffs, Earl, that not only will make people happy, but that just continues this legacy in this last decade. You know, the Red Wings did win Team of the Decade, and that's just going to continue the cause into, you know, establishing themselves as a perennial power in hockey.
That's right, and the other thing with that, it's been such a strong team for so many years. Do you think the people could handle if they have an off year?
You know what, and the same thing was said about University of Michigan when they had their off years during the Rich Rod era. And Herb Street said it himself. He didn't think fans would be able to take it, take that weight, take that spread off and developing for 2-3 years. And unfortunately, it didn't develop, but fans did not wait. And I think the same would happen to the Red Wings, just like in the Dead Wings era, back in your heyday era, when the Dead Wings era, for, you know, a whole decade or two, they couldn't get anything going on the ice. It was pitiful, and the fans hated it. This wasn't the traditional hockey team that the fans knew. I mean, do you think otherwise, Earl? Do you agree?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The time now is 41 minutes after the hour, 4 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
What's your job on the movie?
Producer.
Associate producer. What was the last movie you produced?
High and Dry.
Who paid for that?
CFDC.
What's your middle name? What's your middle name? What's your middle name?
Leon?
Shoot him. He's an American spy.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Ben Affleck. At the Golden Globe Sunday, his film Argo won for Best Film Drama, and he won for Best Director. Join us.
And you know, we have so many movie award shows. Like they were talking about there, you know, you've got the Golden Globes, you've got the Emmys, you've got all kind of award shows for different types of movies, and they all have, you know, they all have some kind of aspect that people will like, but there are just so many different of them, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, so many different. I mean, even the Music Awards, you have the Grammys coming out February 2nd, so many, and I think they get a lot of media attention, too.
Yeah, and you got the People's Choice Awards, you got those awards, and you just have a lot of awards, music awards, acting awards. So I guess we'll just have to watch those and see how they end up.
That's right.
Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Now, you can give us a call right now because we'll be having hockey tickets to give away by the end of the week. Give us a call at 517-884-4783. That's 517-884-4783 for your chance to win tickets to MSU hockey. Once again, 517-884-4783, and you can win tickets to MSU hockey. And we'll do that for you right here on AM 870 WKAR. So give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Once again, the number to call, area code 517-884-4784. 517-884-4784. And you can call us and talk hockey right here on MSU and on that. Let's talk change sports a little bit, but let's see, we've got someone on the line, so let's first go to the line. And hello, you're on the air with us.
Hello?
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Earl?
Okay.
Sound like you got a little raspy voice there, but you're still coming in strong.
I'm trying, thank you.
Hey, look, what do you feel about how well Derek Nix has been doing his senior year here the past few games? I'll take it off the phone, though.
Okay. He's been playing pretty good. I know he could play better. He could play stronger. But he's a good player. But he's a 6'9", strong, and he's got very quick feet. That's the one thing I've noticed, especially in practice. When you watch him work out in practice, he has such quick feet. He moves so fast. So Derek Nix is going to be okay. But he just has to be more productive. But he's got such quick feet, which is an advantage for him. So we'll just keep an eye on those feet to see if he can keep staying strong and keep staying quick with his quick feet. That's for sure. And that's Derek Nix. But Derek Nix is a very good player, very strong. I hate to have to go up against him and try to bang against him every day because he's such a big and strong player. What are you going to do with him? I mean, how do you match a guy that's that big and that strong? It's going to be a tough, tough job, a tough assignment for anyone to match up against Derek Nix. He's a very good player and a very strong player. And we'll just have to wait and see how many people or how many players can match up to him and go up against him and of course, do something with him because he is really, really strong. And, matter of fact, I was going to ask you, if you know much about that, Alex, how good do you think the Michigan State baseball team is going to be? They've been pretty good the last 2 to 3 years. Do you think they're going to have another good year?
Yeah, we're actually getting a call. But, yeah, I mean, they've had a lot of pro players, too. That's the other thing.
And they do. They have a lot of players, and they're getting better and better and better, and which is good. And we'll see them gathering and getting better each and every year. They're just getting very strong and becoming a very strong team. That's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us. We got Jack from Lansing. Jack, how you doing?
Hey, Earl. How are you?
Okay.
The question I have, Earl, and I know you don't have any control over this, but maybe you can ask next time you get someone from the State Journal, how come the State Journal, they don't post like the high school roundup of, say, like a Friday night games? They used to do it, football and basketball pretty regularly, and, like maybe in Sunday mornings. And yeah. I read Sunday morning's paper, and it was like, one folded over section and one little insert with all car ads. People like to see what, my wife's alma mater, she wants to know what, Muskegon did, and I want to know what Ann Arbor Pioneer did, and, et cetera.
Well, maybe, that's, yeah.
Maybe you can ask somebody, I know, and maybe if enough people bring it up, yeah. At least I'd like to know.
Yeah.
Maybe that can get in the paper on a more regular basis.
Oh, yeah, and that's what you'd have to do. I mean, more people have... make their system and their knowledge
known. What do you think about that?
No, it's a reasonable question, a reasonable request. There's nothing wrong with that. And yes, and you should do that. And hopefully you hear from someone at the Journal about it.
I'm throwing it out for your listeners, and I'm sure there's other listeners, from the other shows that are listening to this, and maybe, maybe someone will, ask enough questions and bring it up.
Yes, hopefully someone will because, I read the Sunday paper as well, and sometimes you see some things in there, and sometimes you wish you could see a little bit more in there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they used to do it for football and that, but I haven't seen it in a long time. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate it, Earl. Thanks for letting me vent a little.
Sure. No problem, Jack.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, so just give us a call. Talk sports with us and call the Journal. I mean, don't hesitate to call the Journal because they're very, very receptive to your inquiries. And if you have questions about how the State Journal operates, just give them a call and they'll be glad to answer your question. Once again, just give them a call and they'll certainly help you out and answer the questions that you want. Well, it's one thing I haven't asked you, Alex. What about hockey? How do you think hockey's been struggling this year for the most part?
Right, right.
So how is your thoughts and what are you thinking about on hockey?
Yeah, I mean, in it's not even the fact that they're struggling. It's the fact that they really just can't get goals, Earl. We saw this against Notre Dame. We saw this in the last four games previously. No goals, no offensive power. We've seen some injuries hinder here and there. So, yeah, this is, I think, a team that could, they have the potential. I think the potential is definitely there. But it's just the execution that they just can't really get. And you know what, Earl? Every team goes through slumps. From professional baseball, where you're playing every day, to even basketball and football. Every team has their slumps. And I think this is just one that Anastas and his team are dealing with right now. And hopefully they can get through it. But at the end of the day, Earl, I think this is a team that can make the playoffs and can make a run, but I wouldn't give it to the highest degree of percentage in the fact that they can actually establish themselves this year. Well, thoughts on that?
Oh, so do you think they've got maybe not a chance to make a big playoff run, but they can get better during this season?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there's plenty of room to improve. It's not like they're not going to get goals forever.
Yes, so hopefully they'll get better, and they've got a lot of players on the team. And as we know, no excuse for them, but, you know, they're a young team. It's a very young team, a lot of freshmen and sophomores, and hopefully they'll get better as the season goes along. But it's just a young team, and hopefully they're getting better, and hopefully we'll hear more from them as the season goes along.
That's right.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll get better as a team, and people will like them, and hopefully will like the way they start playing, because they're going to start playing pretty well sometime. They're just a good team, and we'll just have to hear a lot from them later on, right here on AM 870. We'll hear from them, and you know, we can boost them up and hear a lot from the team. AM 870, you can hear a lot from them. So it'll be up to you and the folks like you. You're the fans. You're the fans, and you have to, you know, come to the plate. You have to come and come and cheer on for the Spartans. That's for sure.
Yeah, and Earl, have you seen Mon Ice Arena lately? Like, you know, the fan participation and the attendance.
It's gotten pretty good. It's getting better.
It is getting better. So I think they are stepping up to the plate. You know that? I think the listeners on WKR even know that Michigan State sports, it's shifty every year. You have your basketball that's consistently good, you know, but you don't know what you're going to get,
yeah.
You know, in some of these sports.
It'll be interesting, Alex, to see what they do this year in the sport of football, because they've got a lighter schedule. They don't have really a tough schedule. It's a little bit of a lighter schedule. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that little bit softer schedule this year.
Yeah, and besides the softer schedule, it's more interesting what they're going to do with their current line, you know, their current line and their current team. Last year, there were all of these offensive pieces, a lot of them with little game experience coming in, a lot of new receivers we haven't seen before, some new guys on the line, and that was a pretty big thing. But this year, with Golson leaving, and then you have Sims leaving and Bell leaving, it's going to be an all-around effort in terms of getting new guys up to the plate, unless someone on the secondary side of the ball, someone, you know, on the receiver side of the ball, someone from last season who has the game experience, really just steps up and establishes himself as a potential pro player and leader on the team.
And we might see that this year, that's for sure.
And who's your candidate to do that, Earl?
Boy, I'm not sure if I'm ready to name a candidate yet. There are a lot of good players still on this team, and you know, I'm just not really sure right now who would be the best candidate on this team. But there are a lot of good candidates. We've got a very strong linebacking core. They're going to be outstanding. And when you look at them, when you look at the defensive backs and the defensive line, the defense, again, should be the strongest part of the unit that they have. And then we'll see how the offense does. But that defensive unit should be very, very strong.
Yeah, and I think besides the defensive unit and linebacking core, what about Aaron Burbridge? This guy stepped in as a freshman, no game experience whatsoever, comes in when receivers dropping balls and made a name for himself. I think next year is going to be a breakout year.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, you know, that's the thing. Sometimes we come to expect, maybe I think a little bit too much from receivers. Just because they have one good game doesn't mean that they'll have two good games or three good games or four good games. But they'll just have that one good game, and hopefully it will lead to other games. That's for sure. So we'll wait and see how Burbridge be. But he certainly has the potential to have another good game and have a good season. And so hopefully we'll see him have a good season and some of the other ones good seasons. And so, but, you know, we haven't mentioned the women's season. The volleyball season had a great season, as you know. Went all the way and faced Michigan in the semifinals in volleyball. Almost got to the finals. They had a great, great year. So that's one of the teams that had a good year. And some of the other teams had very good season. Gymnastics has started, and they're starting to go. They're having a good year. the gymnastics team. And so we're seeing gymnastics, we're seeing volleyball, and we've seen a lot of other women's sports have very good years. So that's good to see that they're getting stronger and stronger, that's for sure. And what are you seeing when you look at women's sports? Is there any particular sports that stands out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the sport that stands out is obviously basketball. I mean, this is a women's team that had one of the best starts in school history, that has some great weapons this year that will be in the go to the pros. And I think this is a women's team that, you know, can define themselves in a time where basketball and football are both a little shaky right now. I think, that team can define themselves. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think they could. They can certainly get better. There's a lot of room for growth with women's basketball, and I think we'll see a lot of that, that's for sure. And, of course, men's basketball, we know they have room for growth. Football, that's the thing. At Michigan State, there are a lot of sports that have a lot of room for growth. But the big problem with Michigan State is, and has been recruiting. And, you know, I don't know how strong you would say they are as a recruiting prospect. They recruit strong, but that's something that they're just going to have to get better at to become a better recruiting school, aren't they?
No, that's absolutely right. And talk about being a better recruiting school. What are those pitches that coaches would make to these athletes, Earl, to come here?
Well, boy, those are tough to get them to come to Michigan State and become a better school. And that's the thing. I know people seem to understand this, but everybody basically offers the same thing. So why should, they pick your school over another school? Why should they pick, for example, Alabama over Syracuse, or Alabama over Michigan State, or Tennessee over Michigan State? One thing that's known for sure is that kids want to go to school close to home. They do want to go to school close to home. That's one thing that they want to do, and if they can, they'll go to school that are close to home. So if they can, they'll continue to do that. But other than that, there's a lot of different reasons why they go to certain schools. And, we'll have to just wait and see why they're going to a certain school to go to a Michigan State, a Michigan, and that kind of a school. So if we can see that and get that, it could be a big blessing for Michigan State if they can name some of these other schools that they want to go to. If they want to become Spartans.
No, that's absolutely right. Now, shifting from the recruiting, let's talk about even more. We've talked about Lions with O'Hara. We've talked about Michigan State basketball, Michigan State football. We talked Detroit Red Wings, but we haven't talked Detroit Pistons yet, Earl. Have you been following a little bit?
Yeah, I follow those guys, and they're a long, long way to follow. They've got such a long way to go. That's a team that could get better in years to come, but right now they're still a young team, and they've got a lot of young talent. If they can put the right pieces together, it could become a very good team. And that's the key thing with the Lions. They have to put all the right pieces together.
Right.
And hopefully that can become a very good team. And we'll have to wait and see on that one, I'll tell you, Alex. That could be a very, very good team.
That's right. And I think it's a team that will surprise a lot of people, even in the future. A year down the road from now, with Corey Maggette, getting rid of a lot of their cap, who knows?
Yeah, that's it. They got to get rid of a lot of the cap and bring in some of the new people. And that could be a very good team to watch out for. So just look out for those Pistons in the years to come. It may not be a lot this year to hope for, but in years to come, that could be a very good team. Well, we want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. Invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So Come back and join us tomorrow. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening right here on WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.